Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, our last broadcast in November.
Yeah, we missed last week. I think everybody missed us. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good.
Yeah?
I cooked a dinner in the Airbnb that we're staying at in London.
Oh.
Using a British turkey.
Does it different than British turkeys, or?
Actually, the turkey is, I would say it's far superior, but in retrospect, it's probably just an heirloom of some sort. But it was fantastic. Yeah, it was a dynamite bird.
Well, I had a turducken.
Oh God.
Okay. We go every year to this guy and to a relative's house, and he makes a turducken every year.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Anyway, let's get a little recap of markets. We had a shortened week for markets, of course, because of the Thanksgiving holiday. And Thursday, the markets were closed. Friday, it was a half a day. But that didn't stop the markets from recovering from being down 2 weeks. It's like, what an opportunity here. Nobody's here. Let's just squeeze it up. So markets were up last week nicely. The Russell Small Cap Index, NASDAQ were up pretty big. But then today we saw that there was a gigantic surge. We had two things that happened today. Three things. Actually, I mentioned this on the Disciplined Investor podcast. It seems, and I have to look at this a little bit more in depth, but it seems like the last Tuesday of the month, the day of the Case-Shiller numbers, the day of the consumer confidence numbers that come out, it seems like that's always a day and some reason that it's up. I don't know what that's about, but it was a big day up today. And we saw that the Dow Jones was up about, 250 points today. And this is after the House passed their version of, the House subcommittee passed the version and allowed it to get on the floor now. The Senate. Last week was the House.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting what's going on there. We had that. We also had Powell going through his confirmation hearings today.
Yeah. How was that going? I didn't get to watch it.
I mean, he was pretty dovish, really dovish. And it's pretty incredible that he was actually even talking about cryptocurrencies, but he was, soft on banking regulations, making it look like there is a, making it look like he's going to be very easy on markets. So markets were pretty good with that. And then on top of that, we got this, Senate committee situation. Although, they passed it because they're making a lot of promises. One of the promises, probably one of the most stupid promises I heard, was that if in fact, I guess it was Corker wanted to make sure there was no massive drawdown, in the event that the taxes were not able to meet the mark because it was supposed to spur growth, and that growth is going to be, therefore taxed because it's more revenue and more incomes. And he said that, we can't have a deficit blow up on us now. So what he did is he wants a rollback. So in the event that the GDP stalls and they don't get the growth out of this deal, they're going to roll back some of the cuts. So in other words, if the economy slows down and there's not enough revenue, they can actually put on further taxes. Are these guys insane?
This is ridiculous because every president that's come in has been a kind of a nutball about jacking up everything and making the deficit worse. And the Democrats used to kind of push that idea. And I just think it doesn't work for me.
Yeah. So there's some concern over this due to the actual taxes that will be paid by the middle class. And I guess there's going to be higher taxes on the low. They're calculating that there's some higher taxes payable by the lower income under $75,000 income levels. And there's some concern about taking out the insurance mandate, you know, the mandate and then people off the rolls. It seems to me that they're just going to pass this to pass this.
Well, they haven't been able to pass anything else. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And by the way, the markets were up most of the day and they were going pretty gangbusters. 2:30 or so was this vote to set the Senate committee. Right in the middle of all this, North Korea decided they're going to blow off a missile again.
Yeah.
So we had this 80-point drop on the markets. Didn't go negative, but it was an 80-point drawdown on the Dow Jones. And right after that, everybody's like, oh, didn't seem to hit anything. It landed in the water, even though the missile was the longest and highest running, according to, various reports. But the Teflon market didn't really care by the end of the day, which goes to show you something. It goes to show you that we're more concerned about making money than we are about dying in a nuclear holocaust.
Yes. And as well we should be.
So the question is going to be, is this going to be a continuation throughout the end of the year of this bid to the market that we're seeing that no matter what happens, everything seems to go up? Will it be the Santa Claus rally that's always expected to the end of the year? Or is this going to be a sell the news event when and if this tax deal passes? Because there's not much more that's going to, what else can happen?
Nothing.
I mean, there's nothing really, I don't know of any other build the wall, maybe roll back regulations, maybe. But it seems like everything's like right here. This is the big moment.
Well, the way I see it, the tax bill is going to be a loser. It's not going to work as advertised, and we're going to end up paying more taxes as usual. And somehow, I'm not going to say that it's a tax cut for the rich. I don't think they're going to benefit. I just don't see. I've looked at, and the other thing is we don't know what the Senate's going to pass. And there's a couple of gotchas in there that may end up with the Senate not passing it. We have no tax bill.
Yeah. They're going to try to, like I said, I think they're going to try to get this done. There's about four or five senators that are, you have the usual names in there that are going to hold it back or squeeze them for something they want. Which is the old sausage factory, I guess. Some other economic news. U.S. home builders and home building jumped in October to a one-year high. It's probably due to the fact that we had all these disruptions over the previous couple of months due to hurricanes and fires and floods and all of this, and particularly in the South. And that was now all of a sudden ramped back up. So, all of a sudden as this flooding receded and all that, we also have the housing starts surged 13.7% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.29 million. And there's the highest level since October 2016. Mm. New housing numbers posted just yesterday, better results and existing homes have been strong. And with that, which I think this is really interesting, each month we come out with the Case-Shiller comes out with a report on a variety of different residential housing prices and compares various ones. We always look at the 20-city, but there's the 10-city and there's also different ones. Anyway, the 20-city Case-Shiller price index for homes was up 6.2% month over month.
Yeah.
6.2% month over month. Here's what's fascinating. There's a chart.
It's a lot of compounding going on very fast.
Very fast. So much for that whole thought that there was no inflation. But it's up 22.5% from a year ago. Mm. That's kind of like not as severe as China, but that's pretty significant numbers.
Yeah.
So I put a chart up there. You can see the chart.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Well, at least it's consistently to 6.2% or so.
Yeah, it's been that way since 2014. But if you think about that, that's every month.
Yeah, that's a lot of momentum.
Yep. So up 22%. And the last time we saw, there was a couple of times back in 2011, and these coincide to the rate drops and the money being flooded into the markets and QE and all that. You can see that obviously that giant drop down in December of 2008. Which was a negative 20% that was there for, let's call it two and a half years. So we had a drop of 40% or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was all recovered. And right now, if you would actually look at the raw numbers, not the percentage change, we're at an all-time high for housing prices.
Yeah, it looks like the crash all over again.
Yeah, but at least there is the one problem, though, is different than the crash, is that there's there's low inventory in existing homes, and that's pushing up the prices as well, because people want to buy houses before rates go up, which is, again, back to what the principles, what I talked about, is we're going to see a major move up if they increase rates. And for whatever reason, they were holding on to these low rates for a while. We're seeing, if you think about this, the real move in the markets and in housing happened after they started to actually raise rates.
Panic buying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at this. Every time I look at this chart, I think of the people that is from 2007, December, when it started going down and it reached a minus 20% month over month number in December 2008. It started going the other way. So by December 2009, it was pretty clear that the direction had been reversed. Why wasn't everyone buying their house then?
Well, isn't that the standard? You know, stock's going down, it's bottoming out, I'm not buying it. Stock's going up, I'm buying it.
Yeah.
Buy on the high, sell below.
I just find it peculiar.
I mean,
and by the way, if they had bought right there in December 2009, they'd be getting the compound up from then on, yeah, which I don't know what the number is from there to now, but it's high.
The thing is that this is classic fear and greed. It's classic fear and greed. I mean, there's so many different mentions of this and examples of this in history. It's unbelievable. It's the same thing over and over, which leads us right into the next story, which has been, by the way, everywhere. You cannot get away from this, which is the discussion of Bitcoin.
No kidding.
I mean, it is. I think there's more Bitcoin tweets than there are Trump tweets these days. That's saying a lot.
Yeah, this is saying it's saying a lot, and what it says to me is fad.
Yeah, maybe.
Although I could be a big talker as this thing goes to 20,000. It could be $250,000 before the thing reverses or crashes.
Well, it did move past $10,000 per coin this evening. It's currently trading at 10,069 right now. And just in time for Christmas.
Well, good.
Yep.
Cash out.
Yeah. So there's been an interesting discussion about who is buying this stuff. Who's buying this stuff? You know, I mean, is it for a while, it was in Asia, the Chinese are getting their money out, and then they closed down some of these markets. That dropped the price down dramatically. And then there's been other discussions about, you know, it was nefarious people that were using it for the kind of black market stuff, and they closed some of those deals up. And but one of the things that we have been seeing is a significant amount of buying from countries like Zimbabwe. And if you think about that, it makes a lot of sense. Because here you have a place where the currency is worth nothing. They have 50% inflation on a monthly basis. And you have other countries like Venezuela.
Yeah.
And they're looking at this instead of gold as alternatives to stash cash. It's easier to do than buy gold. It's easier to get out of the market and into this versus trying to put it into a different country's banking system. I mean, can you ever try to open up?
You can argue that it's easier than buying gold.
Where are you going to buy gold? If in the U.S. you could buy an ETF, right? You can buy the futures, but you can go to a store, maybe buy a gold coin.
Yeah.
But
well, you can get gold bar if you shop around.
The difference is if you buy a gold bar, let's just say that you did buy a gold bar and you wanted to buy lunch with that gold bar. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do if you have a Bitcoin and you want to buy lunch?
Well, you can convert it possibly. There's places that you could buy things with. You got companies more and more acceptance of this.
Well, if you say so.
It's definitely, I think, a little bit easier. So here's some other things that are really interesting. Over the last 2 weeks, Coinbase, the largest let's call it cryptocurrency website,
Right.
They actually only trade three coins. They trade Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. Whereas other ones like Bitrex and Bifinex, they trade hundreds of coins. But they trade three. They added 200,000 new accounts in the last few weeks.
Wow.
Yep. And now we have some suggesting just yesterday that...
you have an account, by the way?
Yes. I have several accounts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to get an account one of these days.
We have a couple of Bitcoins, you and I. No, let me take that back. We have partial Bitcoins, you and I. You say a couple of bucks is one thing. A couple of Bitcoins, 20 grand. But we have some people donated Bitcoins historically, way back when.
Hmm.
So they're not worth much. But, you know, they have obviously, but we've been good riding the wave, haven't we?
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. We probably got it when it was about $300 or $400 a coin. So people gave us small partial pieces, you know, $10 here or whatever. So I don't know what it's worth, but we can look it up. But I put that in my account and tagged it for us.
Okay, well.
You know, it's also interesting.
When it gets to a quarter of a million, I think we should dump it.
Yeah, good idea. I'll put that on. Let me put that. Yeah, so somebody's asking actually in the chat room, partial coins, how? Well, Bitcoin trades in, you know, you don't have to buy one coin. You could buy 0.0003 coins. So you could buy $75 worth or whatever. You know, it's just a partial coin. But the other thing is there was some suggestion yesterday by a hedge fund manager or institutional manager that Bitcoin by the end of next year can be 40,000.
Well, if it was, it wouldn't surprise me.
But how some, you know, these guys.
But it wouldn't surprise me if it dropped back to 1,000 or 500.
Yeah. I agree. Completely. Now, the last thing on Bitcoin is that it was only a few weeks away from, this is a really an interesting discussion. We're a few weeks away from the CME putting out Bitcoin futures. Mm. Have you heard about this?
Yeah. See, all of this stuff kind of legitimizes, I think, Bitcoin too much. I'm really not a fan of this. Unless somebody can actually show me a Bitcoin, a real one. There's a fake one floating around. It's like looks like you know, that drawing of the Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
It's floating around. I saw somebody showed me one the other day. In fact, it was in London. They had it in their pocket. It looks like a challenge coin. You know, it's got the B and the thing going through it, the two lines.
That's what we should do. We should make a bunch of these that have the, you know, it's, and we sell them for like 400 and all sorts of suckers will buy it. It's only 400 yeah. from these guys. Yeah, we're selling for 400.
Yeah, it would.
But it is getting legitimized with these futures. Now, I had two different conversations with two different groups that would be potentially utilizing futures on their platforms. In other words, like trading platforms, you know, brokers. And they both said two different things, but very similar. One was the whole idea that this could be a problem because the broker would possibly be in big trouble if people were shorting Bitcoin on their platform and Bitcoin ran away. Whereas if Bitcoin futures have, let's say, $1,000 per day limit and Bitcoin spikes up 7,000, there's going to be like 6 or 7 days until they can't get out of it. Right, because they have to cover it, but they can only it locks down after 1,000 points.
Yes, that would be a very bad idea to short it.
Right, and what will happen is that the broker will be on the hook. So what they want to do is put some limitations on how much the broker can be out of pocket. The second discussion I had was also very interesting, and they said that a lot of people that they are aware of already, when these futures come out, are going to be shorting the Bitcoin because they're gonna. There's basically no other way to lock in your profits if you own Bitcoin. So use the futures to short it. Therefore, what's going to happen is it's going to drive the price down dramatically once these futures come on market. I think most people are thinking that when the futures come on the market, it's going to open up the ability to buy more Bitcoin through institutions and hedge funds, and it's going to continue driving up the price. And that's why people are buying Bitcoin ahead of this.
That's why that would be my inclination to think that way.
Yeah.
Probably the opposite is more likely.
So have you been looking at some of the holiday season for retailers? Have you gone to any stores?
Well, being in London.
Ah, do you go to Harrods?
I haven't been there for a while, but London seems to be just wall-to-wall stores.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to Harrods?
some area. We went by Harrods. I didn't go to Harrods. But I went to, I mean, this town has become so commercialized. I'm going to talk about it on the No Agenda show, obviously, on Thursday with Adam, because he's been there more recently, too. But it's so out of control. I'm just give you this one example of how out of control it is. When you go to the airport, we went through Gatwick. There's a new flight from Oakland to Gatwick. We go to Gatwick, and then to get to the gates, the boarding gates, they walk you through one of these random walks. There's no other choice. You have to go. It's like going to an IKEA store. You have to walk through a giant duty-free store.
Oh, yeah. This is a new thing. I've seen this.
Yeah, and it's like going to the casino to check in. You got to walk through the casino. So you come through, and then it winds. It's not like a line and a left turn. It's just like winds. So it's a longer walk than it should be. Then it kind of wraps around. It comes back the other way. And you have to make this walk, this perp walk, through the duty-free. And they have hawkers standing in front of each of these kind of subdivisions of the thing, kind of spraying you with perfume.
Oh, that's the problem. It stinks in those places. You need a gas mask in those places.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they're spraying people with perfume. These people are all headed for an airplane, and they're going to be soaked in something or other. It's going to stink up the plane. This is outrageous to me.
Yeah, I've done this before, too. It's terrible. They make you walk through the gift shop. Terrible.
And anyway, so they have, the whole town is wall-to-wall stores.
Yeah.
If you want to go shopping, it's great.
Well, the pound is so much lower than it was back when.
Well, yeah, it is 20 or 30 cents lower. The other thing is that I'm there, and right after Thanksgiving, they're having Black Friday sales. And I'm thinking, isn't Black Friday like the day after Thanksgiving? Is a specific day that we have in the United States where the retailers all make most of their money.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there a Black Friday the same exact day in England, in London?
Well, Everybody does the same thing.
I was told that it was Amazon that popularized it.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. I think they may be right. Because I saw too many TV ads saying Amazon, Black Friday. Hmm. They don't have the Cyber Monday. They have the Black Friday. It's very strange.
Well, speaking about that, there's been some interesting reports out about Black Friday and the holiday weekend and the stores and what they did. And a lot of the retailers got a nice lift, even though the malls were pretty much still, I don't want to say empty, but not as full as they had been in the past. And there's a company called Hitwise. There's a tracking service. Listen to this. They said that Amazon got 55% of all transactions processed by the top 50 online retailers on the Black Friday weekend, followed by Walmart that got 8.8%, Best Buy with 5%. And
what are people buying at Best Buy?
Well, Best Buy, they can buy computers and TVs and things like that. I mean, they'll do price matching. You show them some other.
That's right.
So. Yeah.
Price match.
You can buy headphones and that junk. I mean, I go there every once in a while for something. If I can get the same price, I'll just buy it there. But generally I don't, because at least on the Amazon page, I feel a little bit better when I can see the reviews, even though I know a lot of them are crap. But still, it's just a lot easier. And anyway, if you look at this table here, you can see this on DH Unplugged on the episode number, 384. You can look at the transaction share on both Black Friday and Thanksgiving. And this is enormous.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, of course, Amazon is only online, where Walmart is online as well as in store. But this is the online numbers. I mean, 7 million transactions on Black Friday for 54% share for Amazon. Trying to find some other ones that are online here. GameStop, Home Depot, Lowe's. I mean, it's just the numbers are absurd.
This must be freaking out everybody.
It's crazy numbers. Not only is it just they're only online, of course, but the amount of transactions that happened obviously pulled everybody away from going to the stores. And I don't know about you, the thought of going to a store on Black Friday is repulsive.
Yeah, I like to go on Christmas Eve.
Is anybody in the stores?
Men.
Oh.
It's almost like a bunch of men decided to, I've never seen women. It's always men, and they go shopping at the last minute, and they all, it's like a brotherhood.
Yeah, well, women plan. Men, you know, are just like, oh my God, it's Christmas tomorrow.
Yeah, it's great.
Let's see what else we got here. All right, some other things. Uber. A couple of things on Uber, actually. Uber's entered agreement with carmaker Volvo to purchase 24,000 of its SUVs between 2019 and 2021 to form a fleet of autonomous vehicles.
Yeah.
Now, that's assuming that they're still in business at that time.
I get the sense that they will be.
I mean, they had now the SoftBank deal where SoftBank was buying a big piece of them. Now, after all the stuff that went on and the recent the hacking and the you know all the stuff that's gone on with the company, they're pricing it 30% below the last price that was a buy-in into Uber.
If
it's accepted. No. Saudi Arabia, we talked about this once before. I think maybe we didn't, but the striking agreements with some of the detainees in their anti-corruption crackdown. So they're telling the people, all these various princes and people in government, to hand over assets and cash in return for their freedom. Now, what they did is they put all these, I don't know, 25 or so princes and royalties and people in the various form of government.
I thought it was more than that.
Maybe it was, but you know, they put them up in the Ritz-Carlton. That's their jail.
Yes, I know. It's funny. they took their phones away, though.
They did.
Yeah.
So it seems like a kidnapping for ransom. Now, here's what happened tonight. We saw a report tonight that Prince Meteb bin Abdullah, one of the most senior Saudi royals who was detained, has been released after paying upwards of $1 billion.
That's funny.
I mean, and what was interesting was that when this all happened, President Trump was, yeah, they know what they're doing. I stand behind the Saudis in this whole process, cleaning everything up. I mean, can you, this doesn't seem legal, does it? Or does it matter?
Well, they have their own laws there. You know, they're not, there's a lot of stuff they do that we wouldn't, it wouldn't be legal here. But it's legal there.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Did you follow any of the Tesla unveilings?
Yes, I did.
What do you think of this new semi truck?
I like it. I like the looks of it, but that this thing is never going to get on ever built. I don't believe it.
I think
I'm finding that Musk is gone nuts.
If it wasn't a respectable individual, you'd have to say this is the greatest Ponzi scheme ever. Where he says that you can get a car in 2 to 3 years from now, give us the cash up front, burns through the cash to pay for something else.
Yeah.
And instead of getting further cash infusions, now he said that there's a new Roadster that's available that goes, I think, 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds.
Something ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And the first 1,000 cars will cost $250,000 each, paid in full up front.
Yeah.
With later models.
Yeah, this guy's got a lot of nerve.
That will put $250 million in Tesla's cash drawer for a car that's going to be going into production potentially in 2020 for a company that's having difficulty putting out what they're supposed to put out already. Not to mention they're going to come out with a semi-truck, which I think is $180,000. Very cool-looking truck. But again, these are just the trucks that he rolled out, which had better speed, can only go about 500 miles, has a better charging capability or speed of charging, and it's $180,000. But it, you know, there are companies that are putting down deposits already on this to test them out. But the ones that he brought out were just demos or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah,
they look cool though.
Demos.
They look like something you don't want behind you on a dark road at night.
That truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing is ominous.
All right. We have a new section tonight called
Pray Tell
Fed Limericks.
Oh.
Limericks about the Federal Reserve. I wrote two.
You wrote two?
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
The first one. There was a nice lady named Yellen who sat in her chair and was telling that inflation is low and employment too slow from a head that is shaped like a melon.
Acceptable.
Okay. I have another one. There is a new chair named Powell. He is hoping to do no foul. He talks like a dove, will drop money from above. To the hawks he will give a stern scowl.
It's reasonable.
All right, thank you. That's it for that section.
Well, I think you should write these things, write two or three of these every day.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
About the Fed.
I'll do haiku.
Still getting over this damn cold. All right, let's see what we got going on here. You can follow John C. Dvorak over on Twitter, at The Real Dvorak. Myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word, Andrew Horowitz, the whole word out there. And of course, you can make it, it is the season to donate. Today is Donation Tuesday or something like that, or Giving Tuesday, isn't it, or something like that? We're kind of like a charity. You can donate if you'd like. Thank you for all the donations that have come in recently. Of course, if you feel compelled to listen to the show and enjoy the show, you can, of course, just go right over to the website and click that little donation button. A few people did tell me that when they pressed it, they got that energy that went up through their mouse and right through their body. It was very cool. That button.
Yeah, I think people need to experiment more.
Yeah. We didn't mention this last week because we weren't here last week, but we have a winner for the Close to the Pin for GE. You and I bombed.
Well, we're off $2.
Yeah, it's a lot on a $20 stock.
Yeah, well, 10% off. Well, in this case, 12% off, 13 for you.
Now, Nicola was the winner. We sent him over a T-shirt and a certificate suitable for framing. Warren S., he's been in the running a lot here, this guy. Warren has been there a few times. I think he won twice already this year. He came in second.
We got to look into this character.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you look, we're now officially announcing the Closest to the Pin Cup for the end of the year. This is where all of the winners throughout the year are now put into a competition against each other to guess the price of closing of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I believe it's on the 29th of December. So the contestants we have here, and by the way, if you feel like you want to go there and you're not on this list, you could probably put a price in there on the site, but we're just going to delete it. Only these people are going to be eligible for it. So we have contestants Rick Harris.
Well, I mean, are we going to delete it before or after the winner is announced?
No, before. If they come in, we'll just delete them as soon as they come in. I couldn't lock it down. I tried to lock it down. I tried.
Okay.
Here are the contestants. Ready?
Yeah.
And we have less than the full because two people won twice.
Warren's one of them.
Yeah, Warren's one of them. I think the other one was Matthew Phillips, maybe. Not sure who the other one was. But we have Rick Harris, Christopher Malick, Warren Schilling, Roman Chernish, PJ Lathane, Kyle Bird, Matthew Phillips, Fred Kieber, maybe it was Fred that won, Sam Luang, and Nikola Nikolov. And what we're going to do is we have a special prize, and we have this. So it's open right now. If you heard your name, you can go right there to the DH Unplugged website, click on the, you should have got an email from me today also, but go over there and you can just simply pick the price for the end of the year, and then the games begin.
I wonder if the guys who won twice use any tools.
We could find out about that. Somebody's going to win possibly three times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a lot when you have like a dozen names throughout the year.
It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any insight for us on net neutrality, this new update of what's going on here?
I've said it before. I never thought net neutrality was much of an issue, except for when you go to London and you use the wireless anything up there, it tends to be owned by BT, and they don't put the No Agenda show on. They don't let you go there. You can't. I don't think DH Unplugged is accessible. You have to sign in with BT when you go online on the web.
Hmm.
Whether you want it or not, it's free. It's free wireless, but it's not. They don't give you the whole internet, they just give you pieces. Hmm. Now, I don't know if net neutrality would change that or not.
Well, net neutrality is over there.
I mean, net neutrality is net neutrality. Net neutrality does not have anything to do with censorship or blocking.
It's throttling or pay to.
It's about, supposedly about throttling, yes.
Well, Comcast.
Which I don't see as a problem, but okay.
Comcast came out with, changed their stance since this new Ajit Pai, who's now in charge of the FCC, came out with, kind of trying to rip this down. Says that the company says it won't block or throttle internet content, but it has dropped its promise about not instituting paid prioritization.
Right.
So it's pay to play. I mean, so I guess the point is that if I want to pay more than somebody else, I can have maybe a better, which isn't that the case anyway? Oh, I guess it's prioritization versus
speed. If you think about Comcast and Comcast Business, yes.
Right.
It's in the same area, it's in the same location, and it's going over the same gear, except one's faster than the other. Now, how's that work unless they got, some guy with a little throttling switch? He turns it on for the home user and turns it off or the other way around for the Comcast Business.
Well, I have Comcast Business, and they charge you more because the word business is in there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my house is faster for less money. But mm-hmm. I have the business. So it's, I get like, I think 50 megabits of the office download and like 15 or so upload. At the house, I think I have like 75 or something like that.
Hmm. It's not bad.
Yeah, for less money. All right, what else we got here? Oh, it's getting crazier by the day. This whole sexual harassment thing and people and the hatred for men and women. And now it seems that there's a whole thing with political correctness with the Girl Scouts of America.
Yeah.
They warned parents not to encourage their daughters to hug relatives who give them presents at Christmas. I had a really... wrap my arms around, well, no pun intended, but I had to really get my hands around this whole thing. And what does that mean? You don't, if when I was a kid, grandpa gave you a gift, go give him a hug and a kiss, Because, kids don't necessarily do that on their own.
Yes.
So the organization suggests that if young girls were told to hug aunts and uncles, they might later in life feel they owed physical affection to someone who bought them dinner.
Ah.
This is a stretch.
And so what's wrong with that?
I just don't understand this whole thing. I just don't understand where people have gone crazy.
Yeah, it's great. I find the whole thing highly amusing. So it's good for discussions. It's good for these shows that we do. It is kind of nuts. There's no doubt about that. But it's funny to watch. In fact, the what's the guy's name? Lasseter over at Pixar is taking 6 months off because he was accused of over-hugging.
Hmm.
Forced hugging, unwanted hugging, I think it was the words. So if you're working, this is the San Francisco Bay Area, actually California in general, people hug a lot, especially LA, I think probably the most. So the guy's hugging people, and so somebody got offended by it. She didn't want to be hugged, I guess, and she got hugged, and that was that for him. So he's taking time off. They can't get rid of him because if they do, their franchise, the Pixar franchise, I mean, this guy is just a script doctor he's just the best beyond compare.
I guess, is this because we're at the age of internet where there is this wall up to begin with and people can hide behind it and there's no physical contact back when there was no other way to get in touch with somebody, maybe the telephone, but otherwise you would see them all the time. Now you could just right. You could do video chats, you can do emails, you can do Snapchats, you can do all this kind of stuff, and you don't have to be close to somebody. And I think this is, I wonder if this is going to morph into a big problem where, if you remember the studies that have been done by scientists and psychologists, where they'd have a chimpanzee that would have a mother that would be hugging it and coddling it and feeding it and giving it love, and another one that wouldn't. And the chimpanzee that didn't get any of that love and attention went like bonkers.
Yeah. Maybe. And maybe that's the scheme. There's a scheme.
There's a scheme to make people nuts, to yeah. end relationships of the world.
Yeah.
So young girls, if they are told to hug somebody, that's going to relate to something down the road, that if somebody gives them something, they're going to have to get down on their knees. That's kind of what they're saying here.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid. Oh, okay. In merger and acquisition news, Arby's, that fine roast beef sandwich place. Have you been to an Arby's ever recently?
Yes. Yes. Not recently, though. I find it to be kind of deplorable.
The only thing that makes it even edible is to pound the sauce on it.
Yeah. And the sauce is a little starchy. It's like one of those sauces that seems to be thickened with cornstarch.
Oh. Well, they just bought Buffalo Wild Wings.
Huh.
Which has been slumping amid the casual dining sector struggles and the high cost of chicken wings. See, all these places, they didn't think about this. They didn't think that if they opened up a chain of wing places, and there's a lot of other wing places, that they may, in fact, drive up the cost of wings to a point that it makes the margin so terrible that the companies can't make money. Nobody had this thought.
It's beyond me.
Stupid. This is just so much stupid.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
So much stupid. So much stupid. Charles Manson died.
Yes. I read that.
He was 83.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see what else.
You know, here. It's a shame that we didn't get a hold of him. His autograph is worth about 10 grand.
Wow.
Yeah.
He'd been a good guest on the show.
I'll bet. That's for the disciplined investor show.
Yeah, exactly. He probably could have given us some really good cutting edge, things to talk about.
Yeah. I wish I could do his voice. He had a kind of a funny patter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he talked with it. It's very memorable. Mm.
Let's see. That was a little bit before my time. I was only like four years old. Yes. Although the Menendez murders were in my time, and I've been watching that Law and Order.
Yeah, what do you think?
It's dragging out a little bit. I think.
Yes, that's what I thought, and I stopped watching after episode four.
Yeah, I've done about episode like five or six. I'm thinking, where is this going to go? I mean, we know the outcome. Okay, fine. But it's just dragging and dragging and dragging.
I am stunned that they could do this, make this, stretch it like this. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Let's see what else here. Oh, here's a report. I wonder if this is like the day after. Deadly earthquakes could hit 1 billion people next year because of the Earth's slowing rotation.
No. Huh.
Swarms of devastating earthquakes are set to arrive next year due to the slowing of Earth's rotation, scientists claim. They say that we had it easy this year with just 6 severe earthquakes. Next year, there could be at least 20 severe earthquakes, and the most intense ones are expected to occur in the tropical regions, home to about 1 billion people.
Mm.
And they say that tiny changes in the speed of our planet's rotation will trigger huge seismic activity by releasing vast amounts of underground energy.
How's that work?
I don't know. Eh. Crazy, right?
I didn't hear this story, so it's just like I'm kind of just beside myself here. I don't know.
I personally think that due to the lack of personal contact and the inability,
sexual harassment is causing these earthquakes.
I think it is possible that all of this, and I think the Girl Scouts are really they're the cause of a lot of this, because what's happening is, it's without people coming together, what's happening is that generation of motion and that generation of inertia is actually, coming together to people is actually slowing the Earth's rotation.
Okay.
Yep. What are you writing for PC Magazine?
I just finished it too, just recently. I mean, today it was today's column. Let's see. What was it about? Oh man, what was it? I should have it at the top of my idea. I'm going to have to look it up. We're back to that.
You did well for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. I think I got your cold or something. It's actually a pretty interesting column. I do remember that much. Let's see what if I look at the top. Yes. I wrote about face recognition and how it's a plague. And you know, and the face recognition on the Apple X is only benefits only cops.
What?
Find some dead guy, you know, and you have to unlock his phone. You can't do it, you know, through hacking. And so you just take a picture of his face and bingo, you're in his phone.
He could have done that with his thumb before.
Could have, but I think there were some things about if you were in rigor mortis or something, I think there were some issues with the fingerprint reader.
So,
I mentioned the fact that I was at a security conference probably 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, and they had one of these walkthrough turnstiles that you could that would do facial recognition, and I had put myself in the system, and I had gone through that thing doing everything I can, and it always spotted me.
So
sticking out my cheeks, you know, having my, you know, two fingers up the nostrils.
Oh,
scrunch in the face.
So just to
cuck in the head.
Get back to this now. So you're saying that the only benefit to facial recognition is for cops when they find a murder victim.
A dead guy, yeah.
Or a dead guy to unlock his phone.
Yeah.
So it has no other technological benefit.
It seems
benefit.
To me that the only benefit on all levels is for police work.
Now, can you hold up a picture to it of a face?
No.
It has to be your face with the contours.
Apparently, the definition, the way this thing works, that there's some way of telling if it's a 3D image. If you had an exact copy of your head, I believe it would recognize it as you.
Now, what about twins?
I don't know if they can differentiate between two twins.
So I have twin girls.
And by the way, just one last thing I should mention. Supposedly, at least my son told me this, and he's kind of in that field. He says if you can take a picture of an eyeball, cut it out, and take two of them and put them, glue them to your forehead right above your eyebrows, it'll screw up everything.
Oh, is that because you have four eyes? It doesn't make sense?
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons.
I mean, I'm sure if you took a picture of your ears or something, too, plastered.
Well, no, it's apparently eyeballs are a big part of the facial recognition. Mm. It sees eyeballs.
So you have to have your eyes open. Can you be wearing a hat?
No problem.
No problem with hats.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then hairstyles and things like that. Maybe somebody puts it up into a bun. Not a problem. What about a beard? I grow a beard.
Apparently it works.
It works with a beard too. I'd like to check it out with my two girls. I have girls that are not identicals. They're not identical twins. But some people think they look kind of the same. I wonder how that will work with the phone.
Work fine.
And by the way, speaking about Apple, just to back it up for a little bit, I saw an interesting tweet by Leo. Have you talked to him lately?
No.
Anyway, it was about the Apple Mac computer. If you were to, it said, try this and see what happens. Log out of your, you know, you're logged into your Apple, log out. Okay. Then sign in, but sign in as a different user. You follow me so far?
Yeah.
You put in the word root, R-O-O-T, in the username with no password. Click enter. It opened up. It should open up Apple. Everybody's freaking out. I read all the comments. Everybody's freaking out. Yep, it worked. So I tried it. You know what? It worked.
So you logged in as Andrew Horowitz. No, no.
Yeah, logged out. Right, I logged out.
Then you logged out. Do you have to log in and log out, or can you just do it from scratch?
When my computer came back up from hibernation, it only seemed to allow me. I didn't see how to do it. It was only allowed me to log in as myself. So I went in myself and I logged out. Then when I was open there, it says log in as you, and I said no, log in as somebody else, because I was logged out at that point, and I just put the word root in the username and nothing in the password, and it opened up my computer. It set it up as a new user.
Huh.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'd say that's a huge flaw.
So there's some way to go into the back end or to the what is that called?
the root.
Yeah, whatever it is. You go and you put a couple of different codes in and you set up an actual root password for the root user. And therefore, that situation can't happen again. So, but that seems like a terrible oversight.
You know, I think there's a lot of those things.
That's pretty crazy.
Do you have to do it? Can you, yeah, well, you can't do it remotely, I don't believe.
No, but still, somebody gets your computer. Now that makes the you know, some people may think, I'm not going to steal the computer because I can't get in because of the password and all that. Now, all of a sudden, you can get in very easily. Just type in root.
Well, if you lose your password and you can't get in,
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's get it. Well, maybe you should just do that anyway.
Crazy.
What happens? Can you do it twice?
I mean, after I went in, I went out. It was like a new user was set up already, so I had to delete it.
Okay, can you make a third?
Well, it's still root. Still the username, root.
Okay. Oh, the username is root.
Right.
Yeah.
No password.
All right.
Crazy. All right, let's take a look at the stocks. What's going on here? This is a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. What we're doing is just trying to find some interesting ideas that may do well with certain basic, you're right?
Yeah.
Some basic thesis that goes with this. We usually have a 10% stop.
I just got back, by the way, so I'm a little jet lagged.
Ah, gotcha. I don't know if Horowitz Company, John C. Dvorak, myself may own positions. We will note that in the disclosure. You can check out all of this over on DH Unplugged on the weekly stock picks. Just click that and you can see a live streaming updating tables of what's in, what's out, what the price it came in at, what the current performance is, et cetera. It's all there. It's very cool. So you want to take this or are you busy choking?
Well, I'm trying. You know, I opened it up a second ago and then I went to something else and there it is. I'm sorry. Because it's deep in my email. Let's take a look. All right. Well, here we are with the same group of red right in the middle. Straight Path Communications is the big gainer, 22%. But Baker Brothers Idera kind of beats it with 38%, which is pretty good since it was picked on the 1st of November. Mm-hmm. So we're making 38% in 1 month. Of course, it's a penny stock.
It's almost like Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, Tesla's short didn't work out. That was my fault. And, a couple other good gainers. The VBI vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
I
tweeted a list of, I don't know if you saw it, but I tweeted a list of the Baker Brothers holdings a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So...
Anything in there you think you should buy immediately?
What's really interesting is the amount of biotechs in there. Maybe that's what they do, I guess.
They're heavy on that.
Very heavy, small names and all that. Yeah. But Target came off the list.
By the way, people should look at that list because a lot of them are cheapies.
Really cheap.
Like Idera.
Yeah. Off the list is Target Corp, which I thought would be a good thing into the holidays. They really got creamed after their announcement of earnings. PG&E Corporation, which had all sorts of problems that you picked down 8.9% and stopped out. I have one name. This is tomorrow Andrew Leff, who is from Citron Research. He's the guy that, you know, finds all this fraud and supposedly and came up with some great names to short in China. And he goes after these companies and finds out what's going on and tries to dig out some of the real crap inside of their financials. Well, he's coming on CNBC tomorrow afternoon, I believe it is, on Wednesday. And I know that he's going to be talking about Roku and that he thinks it's a $20 stock. And Roku's currently trading at about 46.5, and he's going to really hard press it. So there may be an opportunity there. Roku is up like 100-something% over the last couple of weeks after they came out with their first earnings after their IPO.
Right.
I think people are thinking this is kind of like, remember when GoPro was going to have this whole network and it was going to have all this streaming and it was going to have this whole community and it was, and then at the end of the day, it was just a camera company.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder if Roku's going
to
be something like that. So we're going to short that going into the Andrew Leff interview tomorrow.
Hmm. All right, well, I've got one.
Yes.
You're going to laugh.
Oh.
But we had an insider buying, James Tisch, as a matter of fact, bought $53 million worth of General Electric.
Oh, God. We've tried this. I think we tried this a few times.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't worked.
No, not at all. So let's see, put this here. General Electric insider.
Yeah, he's a director. And he looks to be seeing a bottom because he's been buying the stock as it's been sliding. And now he made this big plunge at $17.90.
Wow, that's a good price.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, where's 1841 today? You know, it's interesting because it was holding 18s and then it was dropping a little bit below and it would come up a little bit and kind of look like it was going to start maybe turning around. But there is just a massive amount of overhead on this one.
I guess. But this guy looks like he may have picked the bottom if this indeed does start going up.
Hmm. Oh, that's good. All right, we'll put that on there. GE. And again, you can track all these over on DH Unplugged under the weekly stock picks section there. All right. I think that's about all we have. Anything else that you want to add or subtract?
I think we're good. I think we'll see what happens as the month ends.
So my job over the next few days and weeks to come before the holidays is to brush up and refine my limericks.
Yeah. No, you have to definitely do a limerick a day.
Yeah. Limerick a day. And I have to get used to the idea of not being feel compelled to hug somebody or even
no hugging.
Maybe and maybe not thanking anybody if they do something nice for me. Because if I thank them, then I feel indebted also to do something. So it's just like I just if they do something for me, I just ignore it.
Yes.
Just yeah. Okay. It's gonna be a hell of a cold winter.
Yes, indeed. You can go fit.
Right.
Fit. Yeah. Okay.
All right, I will talk to you next week.
Okay, great. Bye. Thanks.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.